part of our efforts to press on in local outreach in this coming year and a half, we'll be supporting three terrific ministries that impact our South Towns community. Compass Care works tirelessly to reduce abortions in our area, and our relationship continues with them. They were formerly known as the South Towns Pregnancy Center, and we're seeking to help support their local TV advertising so word gets out about this important resource to support women in crisis. We're also partnering with Every Child, a ministry that supports fostering and adoptive families and their children. With your support, Every Child will be able to launch their care portal that connects the community and churches to further this valuable work. And finally, Buffalo Peace House is a refugee center located in the South Towns that has hired more staff as they expand their services. As part of Heart Check, we'll be able to help them support those positions.
Also located in the South Towns, of course, are our many facilities. Well-maintained facilities give us a place to grow and train our church family so we can go on mission. As part of this campaign, we will continue to care for the properties and buildings that God has blessed us with. We will be performing exterior building maintenance and completing another phase of the roof at the McKinley campus. We will also renovate the children's space at South Creek. It is our privilege as the facilities team to provide support to so many ministries. Thank you for your continued care and generosity through Heart Check. I know it's making a difference in the lives of people right here at home, as well as around the world.
Well, my name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek, and that video is, you know, hopefully it's pretty encouraging and inspirational to you, but I don't want to pass up the moment that we had before. It was just a special time in here, in the presence of God, and so thank you for the worship team leading us and just allowing us to acknowledge the Spirit in this place, and we're going to learn more about that this morning, how much God loves us and how much His Spirit is with us, and so we're going to continue doing that, but one of the ministries that we work with is Every Child, and Erica McFarland is here on behalf of them, and you are doing just that. You are trying to empower the Holy Spirit to be shown over families all over Western New York. So why don't you just give us like a little bit of an idea of what it is that Every Child does, and I know we saw a little bit in there, but maybe some.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. As Trevor said, I'm Erica McFarland, and I am the regional director for the Every Child Ministry. For some of you, you've never heard of Every Child, but possibly you've heard of Chosen, which has been part of Watermark for the last 8 years. And a unique part of our partnership with Every Child is that 8 years ago, we launched Chosen, and 2 days later, our pastors, Greg McLean and Paul Gartley, were asked to partner with the Every Child Ministry, which was launched out of the chapel of Cross Point. And so for 8 years, actually for 6 years, we were planning our calendar together, doing just, you know, great things, meeting a lot of needs of families. But then about 2 years ago, God really led us to take on that name. So now we are truly that coalition of churches working together to care for, you know, every child within our reach that are in need.
Yeah. And so. That's great. Well, in the piece we saw, it mentioned that the care portal, which is a really, really cool thing that you guys are partnering with.
Yes.
And that's sort of what we're going to be partnering with our finances. So can you sort of give us an even more detailed description kind of of what that is?
Absolutely. And thank you for doing that with us.
Yeah.
The Care Portal is a digital platform that is going to help to connect the community with the church, which is just a huge piece. It sounds to people on the outside like, oh, we're reaching out and helping out with tangible needs or support. But what it's really doing is with that vehicle of helping people, it's really opening the opportunity for us to share the gospel. We've heard time and time again, why are you helping us? We don't know you. You know, we don't even go to your church or any church. And we're able to share, we're able to do that because Jesus loves you and this is how we can show you.
Yeah, I love the connection of the community and the church and bringing those two things together. And I think it's really exciting to see you be able to do that in partnership with other churches. And it's just really, it's really cool. So we're excited to be a part of that. In addition to that, I mean, maybe some people are in here thinking, well, I'm not really called to like foster or adopt. Like, so how can, which is what you would push people don't fight that, you know. You're called to more than that. So can you explain sort of how people can get engaged a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So in James 1:27, God calls the church to care for the orphans and the widows. And so for some of us, like my family, we will be called to foster or adopt, but many will not be. And so the first piece is we can all come and pray, you know, for and through vulnerable kids and orphans and the people in and around. So I actually, before you leave, everyone should be seeing me at the back table. I have a purple handout that just has 31 days to pray through. So we can all, you know, step into that, and that's the most important. But if you are not feeling called to foster or adopt, we really, a big component is we need volunteers to come around those families and almost adopt foster and adoptive families. We have classes that are coming up. You know, you can step into that, learn more. It's not committing to anything, but it's really trying to figure out what piece of James 1:27 God's calling you to do. And so there's something for everyone.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing is just to realize that we are all called to do this. And so we all can take part in it in some way, shape, or form. So that's great. And so speaking of praying for, how can we be praying for you and your ministry and the work that's continuing to go on right now?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned that, you know, God has used us ministry, and now we're excited to be using this digital platform called Care Portal, that if you can pray that God continues to use that in the way to open up the gospel, that as we're sharing those tangible needs or coming along in support, that we have that opportunity and are able to take that. And then also for all of your hearts and others that we talk to, that if God's, you know, just kind of nudging your heart to do something, which we are all called to do something, that you would step into that and figure out where God is leading you and others.
That's great. All right. Thank you so much, Erica. Let me pray for
Absolutely.
You and for every child. And
thank you.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. We thank you so much that you love us deeply, and you love all of your children so much, and that you love all of your creation so much, and you want them all to experience your goodness and your love and your gift of salvation. And so, Lord, part of that, we can, you know, partner with families who love you that do feel called to adopt and do feel called to foster, and that every child can sort of help in that process and help assist in that process. But more than that, even, Lord, how do you want us to be engaged in caring for the orphans? And so we just love you, and we thank you for all that you're doing. We just ask that you would continue to work in powerful ways in and through every child and the families that they work with and alongside, and that you would continue to show your love in and through their ministry, but that you would also continue to show your love in and through us and how we can tangibly be engaged as well. Thank you for what you've done in the past 6 to 8 years with Chosen and every child and all that comes along with that. And we're excited to see what you're going to do over the course of the next several years. So we give it all to you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you
so much for joining us. This is great. So we are in our fourth week of Heart Check. And so we're excited to see what's going to go on. And so if you're just joining us for the first time and this is something that's a little new to you, it's something we've been doing for about 12, almost 15 years, actually. And we have just identified that even in the midst of a global pandemic, we feel that God is calling us to place our trust and our faith in Him and the foundation that He has laid, not the foundations of things that we have built up by ourselves and with our own abilities, but the foundations that Jesus Christ Himself has laid for us that He wants to continue to press on as a church and reach out to those around us. And much of that is through partner organizations. And so it's this time in the season where we kind of take this moment to be able to check ourselves, to check our heart as a church. And when I think of Heart Check, you know, we haven't really talked about the physical heart much recently, but I often think of actually needing maybe once in a while when we need to do a heart check for ourselves physically. Like maybe you've gone to have a physical, or you've done a stress test or an EKG or some sort of a thing to kind of monitor how healthy your heart is. I remember probably 5 or 6 years ago, I went to the doctor and he's like, "Yeah, your cholesterol is kind of getting there up there. You're probably not eating as healthy as you should, and you could probably stand to exercise a little bit." So I was like, okay, fine, I better start doing something. So I downloaded this like app on this workout app. I don't like going to the gym, so I'm like, I'll just do this app at home. And so the first thing it did was to gauge where my heart was, is it made me go through this fitness test. And it was like a 20-minute test in which you ran yourself to exhaustion and the point of vomiting to see where your heart was so you knew where to go from there, to identify where you are so you know where to go. And so then it would customize a workout for me that I would do for the next 16 weeks. And it worked, it was great, it was fantastic. And so, but there's times in our spiritual life where we need to do the very same thing. And that's really what Heart Check is all about. Yeah, it's tied to a financial campaign, and it's something that we want to do, and we want to over the course of these next 18 months, raise $1.5 million. It's crazy in the midst of a pandemic to say that. But we're going to give away 1.1 of that. And it's amazing to say that we're even in a position right now where God has blessed us to the point where we know, because we look back, we look at the history of what God has done through us, and we know that he will continue to do that. We have faith and trust in him. And so we're doing that. But it's also a good time for us to check ourselves physically, and it's a good time to check our hearts. And so this morning, we're going to do that. We're going to check our hearts. We're going to give ourselves a spiritual heart check. And maybe you guys have done a fitness test or whatever, and you've used a treadmill or something like that. And so we're going to use the book of Ephesians in chapter 3 to be our spiritual treadmill, if you will, as we give ourselves sort of a fitness test, a heart check, a spiritual fitness test, and to sort of see where we are in our relationship with God. And what we're going to do through this is, more than anything, is we're going to identify how generous our God is, how generous he is in his love for us, and what he wants to do in and through us. And then with that generosity, what is it that we do with it to the people around us? And so that's where we're going to start this morning. We're going to be in, but before I actually read the passage, I want to ask you, or say a statement, and I want you to kind of think to yourself, maybe where your heart goes when you hear me say this. What if I were to say to you that the world is more united now than it was prior to the first Easter? The world is more united now in the midst of all that's going on than it was before the first Easter, than it was before Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected. And I would say to you, I believe it is highly more united because we have the Spirit of God living and uniting us right now. And so to give you sort of a context of where we're going to be, this is the Paul writing to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians. And in this time, in this moment in time, God had his chosen people, and they were the Jews. And then there was everybody else, which was the Gentiles. So there were the Jews, God's chosen people, and the Gentiles, everybody else. So the Jews believed that they alone would have access to God, and the Gentiles were viewed as inferior and unworthy. And it's in this environment that Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. And so with this disparity between Jews and Gentiles, Paul levels the playing field in verse 6 of chapter 3. Let me read this. It's really quite profound. And maybe it's something we probably often take for granted when we read these things. It says this: "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." Let me read that one more time. "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles," everybody else that's looked down upon, "are heirs together with Israel," together with the Jews, "members together as one body, sharers together in the promises of Jesus Christ." This is truly a profound statement that Paul is making. This is a culture-changing statement. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the Gentiles, everybody else in that time, the Gentiles are afforded the same rights as the Jewish people. The two are one body, and all have the opportunity to experience the love and the grace and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we learn, and when we see of God's generosity, is first and foremost that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his message and his love is available for all people. The gospel is for all people. Now, in our context today, what does that even look like? Well, the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is available for all people, for all socioeconomic classes, for all races, for both sides of the political spectrum. The gospel is available. For all religions, for all denominations, the gospel is available. God wants to welcome each and every one of his creation into his family. And so the good news of Jesus Christ is made available for all through the power of Jesus Christ himself and the Spirit that he gives us. That is amazing. It's not just the select few. It's not just those that have it all together. It's not just those that have figured it out and have it all perfect. For first of all, nobody has figured it out and nobody's perfect. It's for everybody. It's for all of us in our brokenness. It's for those that do not yet know him, but he wants them to be pulled into a loving relationship with him. The gospel is for all people. That right in and of itself is one of the most generous things ever that God has given us. So if we move forward, we see our second, if we kind of raise the angle on our little treadmill here that we're on. Verses 14 through 17 says this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus. He's praying for you and me. One more time, let me read that. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you, you and me, with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. When we talk about the generosity of God, I think one of the most incredible things is the generosity that he gives us with his Spirit. He gives us his very Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ that was with him as he lived, as he walked, as he performed miracles, as he died, as he resurrected. He left that Spirit for us to dwell within us, to receive the same power, to receive the same love, and to take that Spirit out as we go from the four walls or the eight walls of this church. As we go out, we take it. The very power and the presence of the Spirit of God that was so in your face in the Old Testament, the fire, the cloud, the power, the wrath, all of that now available to us within the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. That is incredible. That is a generous God. And as Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus, what would it be like if we prayed for other people to experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their life? What would it be like instead of judging or complaining or worrying about how somebody's doing something, we would actually pray that they would experience the love of Jesus Christ and that the Holy Spirit would dwell within them? We could pray for our partner ministries in this very way. One of the things we want you to do is we want you to go online and look through the digital piece that we have up that explains all of the ministries that we're partnering with, and hopefully God would stir you to connect specifically with one of them, that you would pray for them specifically, that you would pray that they themselves and those that they are ministering to would experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That's what we want to see happen, and we can do that together as a church. And maybe one of the other things in the middle of Heart Check right now is that you need to pray this and consider this for your own self. Is God truly dwelling within your heart? Or are there areas and caverns and corners that you haven't allowed God's Spirit to enter into that you're kind of trying to hide from him and block away? He wants your whole heart. He wants all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But so many times in our flesh, we just hold back and we don't allow the Spirit to fully permeate in ways that he truly wants to. And you know, when we are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is dwelling within our heart, it shows and it changes the way we think. It changes the words that come out of our mouth. It changes the thoughts that are in our head. It changes the way we view other people. It changes the way we view politics. Our worldview should be turned upside down when Christ dwells within our heart. And that's the second thing we learn through this generosity of Jesus Christ, is that Christ dwells in the believer's heart. When you call Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, you are filled with the Spirit of God. The very Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within you. When you're thinking about that for yourself and you're sort of maybe taking a self-assessment or a spiritual heart check of yourself, one of the ways that you can determine what's in your heart is by actually what comes out of your mouth. In fact, look at what Luke 6:45 says. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What is your heart full of this morning? A great way to kind of gauge this is actually ask somebody close to you, your spouse, your children, a coworker, somebody you respect, and be like, hey, when I speak, kind of what generally comes out of my mouth? All right, is it words of encouragement, grace, patience, peace, or do I sort of exude anger, frustration, fear, lack of self-control? If I were to ask my wife probably this last week how I'm doing, there were moments this week where I could have done a lot better, where I struggled with patience, where I struggled with self-control, where, you know, I can use the excuse of, I don't know what's going on with school. I don't know what's going on with ministry. I don't know what's going on with COVID. It's insane. But there's areas of my heart and areas of my life where I've truly needed to allow God to permeate even more than he has, because I have put up some sort of a wall. So how can we break those walls down and allow God to fully shed light on each and every area of our heart? We can pray that he would allow us to do that he would give us the power to do that, just like Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. You can pray that for yourself and for others. As we raise this angle on the treadmill a little bit more, we're going to go to verses 17 through 19. Verses 17 through 19 say this, and I pray, he's continuing to pray. He says, and I pray that you and I, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. Paul wants the church of Ephesus, he wants you and I to understand how much God loves us. It's amazing. I actually, as I was going through this message and looking, I have several of these verses underlined in my Bible, and I have my children's names next to them and my wife's name next to it. This is something I would regularly pray for my family over, and over the last several months, honestly, I've forgotten that I had those written in there. And so preparing this, I was like, man, this is something I've got to pray for my family, that they would understand God's love for them, that they would be able to receive his love, because it's so evident, it's so there, that they would not forget it, that they would be grounded and rooted in his love more and above and beyond anything else in their lives. Because when you understand the love of Jesus, your foundation remains secure. It cannot be shaken, even in the midst of confusion and chaos like we're experiencing in our world right now. And so I pray that for them. And I need to continue praying that for them. You can pray that. You can pray that for your family. You can pray that, again, for the partner ministries that we're working with in different ways and shapes and form, that people would experience the love of Jesus Christ, that these individuals that every child sort of works with and helps to establish relationships with the community and in the church, and families that need that are interested in adopting, and children that need to be adopted, that these children would receive and understand the love that Jesus Christ has for them. And they may only see that through adoptive parents that have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. For the Syrian refugees that are only experiencing in Lebanon, that are only experiencing nothing more than neglect and dismissal, and the country of Lebanon saying, get out of here, we don't want anything to do with you, that they would feel loved, and they can feel loved by some of the work and partnerships that we have over there. And so we can pray these things for other people. We can pray them for our family. We can pray them for ourselves. Not that we would have the power to conquer and have a physical power and a power to influence of people, but a power to begin to understand the love that God has for each and every one of us. And, you know, when we talk about love in general, we learned a couple weeks ago that love is a verb. It's an intention. You have to intentionally do things to show that you love people. You don't just say it. It's not just a feeling. It's an action. And so maybe for your family, your spouse or your children, they tell you they love you, but then they show you they love you by doing what you ask them to do, or doing something that you want them to do, but you don't have to ask them to do. How do we see and feel and experience the love of Jesus Christ? It's painted all throughout Scripture. From the very beginning of time, Jesus loved us. God loved us so much that he created us with the ability to choose to love him back. And then when we chose not to love him back through Adam and Eve and sin entered the world, he continued to provide for creation. He continued to provide for his children, to provide ways in which they could interact and be in right relationship with him. But then again, time and time again, humanity would fail. And eventually God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, down to live among us in flesh, to show us what it's like to live according to his will, but more importantly, to bridge the gap so that now through his death and resurrection, God looks down and sees us through the lens of Jesus' blood as perfect and righteous and flawless in his sight when we choose to accept and receive the love that he has for each and every one of us. That's what we can experience. That's God's love. It's wide, it's high, it's deep, it's long. It's like the galaxy. It never ends. God's love is immeasurable. That's what we learn in this. Generosity. God is so generous that his love is immeasurable. You cannot measure it. You cannot even begin to understand it, but we can ask God to begin to reveal these things in our heart and in our soul. It's incredible when we think of it like this thing way. If you are here yourself this morning and you feel unlovable for any reason, simply pray that God would reveal his love to you in ways that you cannot deny, then you cannot reject, that you cannot dismiss, but that you would experience and feel that love. And again, we should be praying this for each other as well, for ourselves and for each other. God's love is immeasurable. Well, as we continue through Ephesians, there's one more stop. It's found in verses 20 through 21. I love this one, actually. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in Christ and in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." One more time at the beginning here. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." God can do way more with our lives than we could ever do with our own. But first we need to release our lives into his hands so he can begin to work. When I think of this for myself, I think back 20 years ago when I graduated college. And if you would have asked me 20 years ago to write down my hopes and my dreams, and I would probably have some lofty ones. But looking back, I would have never written down anything close to where God has taken me to today. He has done immeasurably more in my life with my dreams than I ever even knew I wanted him to do. It's amazing when you release your life into the hands of God, and then year after year, you look back and you see where he took you along the way. It is remarkable to see. And it's also pretty telling when you look back and you say, oh, that's the area where I wouldn't let go of it. That's the part of my life where I continued to do my own thing, where I continued to build my own structure, where I continued to build my own empire. But that seemed to fail. But when I released it into the hands of God, when I actually surrendered my life to him, he took me farther than I ever could have dreamed or imagined. He wants to do that for each and every one of us. And that's the fourth thing we see in this passage, is that God exceeds our dreams. He exceeds our dreams. There's people in this room I know for a fact that if I would have asked them 5 years ago, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? That they probably would have told me, I probably won't even be on the earth anymore. I probably won't even be here anymore the way my life is going. But then something incredible happened. And they released their life into the hands of Jesus Christ. And now they are doing things they would have never been able to even write down on paper because it would have just seemed foolish to them. It happens. And that's the story of God's redemption. And he wants to do that through each and every one of you. And when we talk about the context of our partner ministries and all that's going on in the world right now, I think of the child living in the village right behind the Poetis compound that we learned about last week, that mother is selling herself into prostitution and the father is an alcoholic that is beating this child, and this child is not feeling any love or any sort of thing, but that child has a dream to do something so incredible and so powerful. But they first need to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And as they experience that, as they release their life into the hands of Jesus, even maybe at a young age or maybe even later on, God will do something incredible for them. Through Compass Care, the organization we heard about this morning that seeks to guide women to keep their babies who are seeking abortion, can you imagine the stories and the dreams that are being saved as the gospel is being presented to these women? As their babies are being saved, to only imagine the dreams that God is going to fulfill through these little children. It's unbelievable when you think of ministry in that context, in that light. God wants to do so much more than we could ever do for ourselves. And that's what we get to do. In India, we're partnering with organization, India Gospel League, that's going in and planting churches in remote villages. And these are deep, devout Hindu families, and they're coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they're having dreams planted in their heart coming straight from the Holy Spirit to continue to propel the gospel into their villages and into their communities. And they're planting 225 churches over the next 18 months. Like, it's insane. And it will happen because God has proven time and time again that he can do it, and he wants to continue doing it. In the city of Buffalo, there are individuals in low-income communities that don't feel like they're worth anything. And they go to 716 Ministries, and they take part in the job training program, and they start to learn how to do things with their hands, and all of a sudden now, they're getting jobs, they're graduating from that with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they're entering into the workforce, and many of them are starting their own businesses. You asked them 3 years ago what they would be doing, they would have been, I'll be on the streets for the rest of my life selling drugs. But no, the redemptive power of Jesus Christ has exceeded their dreams, and he can do the same for each and every one of us, and he can do the same thing for those that we partner with through HeartCheck. All of this excites me. I hope it excites you. I just hope this makes you feel alive, because that's what it does for me. While giving his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself shares this truth when it comes to generosity. In verses 9 through 11 of chapter 7, he says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" God wants to do amazing things. He wants to continue his generosity in and through our lives. And when we receive and understand the power of his generosity, when we get that, when we begin to respond in love to him and we release our lives into him, we don't want to do anything but be generous in return. It's interesting. This morning I was doing I many times now have encouraged you all to go on if you struggle in your time alone with God, if it's something that you're wanting to improve on, the YouVersion Bible app. If you go to the App Store or the Google Store or whatever it is and download the YouVersion Bible app. I keep saying this. People are smiling at me right now because they hear me talk about it all the time. But this morning, if you go to it, you can do it, and you can go to the home screen and do the story mode, just like an Instagram story. Hit it, go through it. This morning is all about what I'm talking about. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. It's all about the generosity of God and how he wants to bless us as we are generous to him. He wants to continue to be generous to us in more ways than we could ever imagine. One of my main takeaways this morning as I was going through that was the pastor that was doing the teaching said, rich people aren't generous. Generous people are generous. We are all called to be generous, regardless of our wealth, with our time, our talent, and yes, our resources. Millionaires can be stingy, and people who only have $10 in their bank account can be generous. Generosity is a virtue of God because he himself is generous to us in profound and remarkable ways. We learned this morning that the gospel is for all people. That in and of itself is incredibly generous. Not just certain people, not just perfect people, not just people who have it figured out, but for all people. And he's generously given us his very spirit. Christ dwells in the believer's heart. He offers his very presence to you and me. We've learned that God's love is immeasurable. He loves you with a never-ending love. But you can ask for the power to begin to receive and understand that love just a little bit. And God exceeds our dreams, and he wants to bless you through that. So as we receive this generosity of God that he so unconditionally gives to us, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be generous in return with it? Because that's what he wants us to do. And we all can be generous in some way, shape, or form. More importantly than anything this morning, it is my hope and my prayer and my desire that Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit is truly dwelling within your heart. We want this campaign, this heart check campaign. Yes, we're looking to raise money, but more importantly than anything, I've said it the past several weeks, and I'll continue to say it. If this is only a transactional financial campaign, we have failed in doing what we feel God is calling us to do. We want this to truly be a transformational campaign. Transformational. That God will work in and through each and every one of our lives, that we are all engaged in some way, shape, or form, whether it's praying for a ministry, serving with the ministry, financially giving towards the ministry. All of us can show generosity in this process. But more importantly than anything, first and foremost, we need to have Jesus Christ living within our heart and to say, yes, I know I can't figure it out. I know I can't fix it myself. I know my life is a mess, but you love me anyway because that's how generous you are. So we receive that and we receive his Spirit. We can say, here's my heart, God. Here's my life. Take and do with it what you will. Because I realize that no matter how hard I try on my own, I can't figure it out. I can't make it right. The foundation always crumbles. But with you, it's unshaken. Let me pray as we continue. Heavenly Father, you are a God of generosity. A God who loves us so incredibly much that we can barely even begin to understand it. Lord, allow us this morning to receive that love, to receive your Spirit, to receive your generosity, and to extend that generosity to those around us. Lord God, I love you. I praise you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I pray that each and every one of us in this room can pray the same thing. Lord, if for some reason there's somebody in here that's struggling with that statement, that's struggling with the ability to say that, I would pray that as we sing the words of this next song, that they would release their heart into the hands of you. That as they spiritually do this heart check on themselves to see where their heart is at, what areas do they need to reveal? What areas do they need to tear the walls down? What areas do they need to have your light shine and eradicate the darkness so that they can love the way you have loved them? God, we love you. We give you this morning. We give you this word. Anything that I have said that is not of you, may it be eliminated from the minds of those that are in this room. We love you. We praise you. And let us truly say, let us truly sing, God, here's my heart. God, here's my life. Do with it what you would do. Work in and through me. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things.